Thank you. Amen, amen. Amen. Well, you love him this morning? And that was powerful. I really appreciate that. And, you know, when you hear something like that, it's kind of somber. And that's okay. You know that? Those things right there, because it, to be a somber word, God, you know, we can keep in an attitude of prayer and just realizing those out there, what's going on, and ministries really helping the hurting, the broken. Amen? The broken. The broken, Father. But as I'd mentioned, Pastor Lee is not here today. He'll be back with us, I promise, next Sunday. He's with family. But we'll see how far we get today on a word I wanted to share with you today, okay? And I wanted to show you the shirt I had. Did you guys see my shirt right here? I love this. This is the shirt. I wanted to, what's prayer? The world's greatest wireless connection. Isn't that true? You know, we have prayer. My friend Andy Aponte, Michael and Christian Tanner, trying to remember the name, friends of theirs from California. But that gentleman, I love his testimony. Anyway, he's, at his own cost, has maybe given away tens of thousands of these T-shirts. Literally. He's told me he's about gave his retirement away. He hands these T-shirts out everywhere you go. He says he's been in other states and seen these T-shirts on people. So just all about prayer. But he was a biker. But he wasn't just a biker. He knew people up in the biker world. And God saved him. I mean, saved him. And then he had a ministry to bikers and those people like that, the world that he was in, that God used him as a ministry. And so I wanted to wear that that shirt. It also reminded me that 9:15 on Sunday mornings, we have prayer here. And it's a powerful time. You know, prayer is, as that scripture says, Jesus said, my church will be called a house of prayer. Amen? And so prayer really is a foundation. It truly is that connection as we're getting not only, we're not so much of just moving God's hand, but so we can connect with him and hear him and saying, Lord, where are you leading us? Where are you leading us as a church? Amen? Prayer. Where are you leading us as a community? Where are you leading us as the body of Christ? So I wanted to mention that 9:15 on Sunday morning. This morning I have a few scriptures I want to share with you. And this is from the Amplified Version. Are you guys okay if we look at some verses from the Amplified Version? That it's not King James. Is that okay? Sometimes I just love some of the other versions that still are true, that kind of bring out, or they kind of reveal some of God's word or truths at a different angle. Amen. And could I, do we have any bottle? Can I get some water from somebody, Hunter? Thank you. So the first scripture I wanted to mention here is in John 1:17 from the Amplified Version. By the way, this week, have you been able to, I don't want to know, use the word practice, but have you walked in Thanksgiving? Remember last Sunday we talked about Thanksgiving? Boy, I sure have. Looking at Thanksgiving and how that works in our lives. It's for the law. You guys know this scripture, right? For the law was given through Moses, but grace, you know the word grace, the unearned, undeserved favor of God and truth came through Jesus Christ. Don't you love his grace? Amen, don't you? For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, is a gift of God, not of works, but lest any man should boast. Don't you love his grace? His unmerited favor. I love that. You know, without grace, can any of us really, we can't be saved, right? We can't be in a right standing through with him, right? It's unmerited favor. His grace that opened the door for you and I to be children of God, sons and daughters of God. Grace is wonderful. But I want to take a little bit look at that other word in that scripture verse. Grace and truth. So we know Moses brought the law. Amen? The law. So we know that law came, that Moses bringing the law. We know that brought us to the end of ourselves, that we can't walk right? We can't walk in his perfect law righteously. We know what did Paul say? He says, hey, now that the law is in existence and I know the law and I try to follow the law, I find the things I want to do, I can't do. I can't do it, right? There's no way I can follow that law. So he says, Moses, yes, brought the law, but Jesus said, but grace came through Jesus. Grace and truth. We spoke about some truth this morning, but I want to talk, hit it at a little bit different angle about what does truth mean? What does truth mean? You know, when you think about truth, I looked in the dictionary, you know, I look at dictionary.com. When I want to see the definition of something now in today's world, I go to dictionary.com, don't you? I don't have a Webster's anymore on my shelf. So I want to take a look at what's the word truth mean in the dictionary. And by the way, we want to look at this. What does truth mean in the world? But what does truth mean in the body of Christ? And so today I'm going to point out a little bit that sometimes the body of Christ can start taking what the world thinks is truth and dragging it in and bringing it part of the body. We're going to see that truth for the believer is not necessarily truth or what the world thinks truth is. That's for sure. Amen? But let me take a look real quick when we think about what truth is. So in that definition, it has in there that true. So what is the definition of truth? The true or actual state of a matter. But is that factual? Is that correct? Well, I have the scripture in 2 Corinthians 4:18. It says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So I want to say that everything that's truth doesn't mean it's what I see. There's many things that are true, factual, that I cannot see. Angels, are angels real? Is that true? Is it truth that angels exist? But is there people maybe in the world, does the world say maybe that's not truth? So we see part of that definition in true or actual state of a matter. That's not truth. And then we know that the enemy, Satan, devils, right, are they real? Spirits that fight against the purposes of God, is that true that they exist? But there'll be many in the world to say, that's not true. Our definition of truth says that's not real. But that's not real truth. Amen? Also says a conformity with fact or reality. So part of that definition is conformity with fact or reality. Well, is that a true statement too? Well, it's in the dictionary. It must be true, that definition. But is that true? Well, I don't know. I'm thinking of 2 Kings 6:17. Well, you know this story, don't you? The king of Aram was warring against Israel, right? And everywhere he'd go, it was like the king of Israel was a step ahead of him, right? And he said, man, we've got somebody in camp that's against us. Or you could say on the streets, they'd say, we got a snitch. We've got somebody in camp that's against us, actually. Who is revealing my plans? So we make plans. Aram was saying, we make plans. We're going to go here. We're going to ambush them here. And then we go there. And they know. It's like they know that we're coming. Who is it that's against us? He said, who's the one that needs to lose their life? And then one of the soldiers says, hey, it's nobody. It's nobody is coming against you, King. It's actually Elisha. It's a prophet. It's a prophet that's hearing your plans. He's hearing the secrets in your bedroom, is what the scripture says. And so what did that king says? I'll put a stop to this. So what does he do? He gets his army and he surrounds the city where Elisha is, right? Is that a true statement that Elisha, it may be in trouble that there's an army surrounding him, right? It looks like Elisha is that the end of Elisha's life is coming. Somebody has mentioned Elisha, they know what you've been doing or what God's been speaking to you. So today's going to be your last day on the earth, Elisha, because there's an army surrounding you. But was that statement of this is his last day true? No, because the scripture says, then Elisha prayed. And so when that army was surrounding Elisha, his servant said, oh man, do you see what's going on? Elisha, do you see this? We're in trouble. Then Elisha prayed and said, O Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So what was fact? What was reality really there? The reality was, is the armies of God, chariots of fire, were surrounding that army. Greater is he who's with us, right? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So what was truth? We've showed that so far that what the world says the definition of truth is, maybe not so. Maybe not so. Amen? How about it? The other part of that definition is a verified or indisputable fact, proposition, principle, or the like. Are they saying like evolution? Is evolution fact? Does the world say evolution is fact? That it's truth? But you and I as believers, we say that's not truth at all. Amen. We're made in the image of God. We talked about this morning. God made the heavens and earth in how many days? I believe that to be the truth. I believe that to be the truth. How about you? So right now we're laying that foundation of what the world says is truth. And we're seeing it today in the world very much so. And we'll talk a little bit about that if time permits. Is not actual truth. So when we talk about he's revealing to us grace and truth. What's your definition of truth, though? Isn't that important? What is your definition of truth? Also says the state of character of being, actually, or actual existence. Let me say that again. Part of the definition, according to dictionary.com. The state or character of being, actuality, or actual existence. But I read in Romans 4:17, it says, as it is written, a father of many nations, I have made you. Who's he talking to? Abraham, amen. And in the presence of him whom he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. Calling into things that do not exist. Calling life into our situations, family members, amen. Calling into existence, blessing, saying, there will, those women coming to know Lord that will not have an abortion, but will, you know, give, whether they raise it or give it up for adoption. So we're calling those things that we don't see right now as we prayed for them. What we're doing is we're praying, Lord, we're bringing that into existence. We're not looking at what we see right now and say, that's the truth. The truth is what God's Word says. You know, one thing I realized and through, you know, now that I'm getting a little bit older and I've experienced life is, it's amazing how even 20 years ago I believed Jesus was Lord, but how I was operating based upon the Word's truth. My attitude and what was going on in my life was based upon what I saw. And what I saw to me was truth. But you know what? It's not that way at all. Amen? So what is this definition, perhaps, that we're talking about in truth? You know, another example, I think an example, remember the dictionary says the state of character of being, actuality, or actual existence. Another good example would be the fish and the loaves. How many fish and loaves did Jesus have? Was it five fish or loaves? So what existed right there? Then he gave thanks, and what happened? What really existed? What really existed? Amen? We saw what was there, and we know what the dictionary definition is. We know what the world would say. We know the limitations of the world, but in actionality, what did they end up picking up after that? They fed the 5,000, and they picked up like 12 baskets or something right now. So the fact is, what was actually here, the truth was, there was enough for everybody. Amen? God's definition of truth this morning. What is it to you? Amen. So I want to say, what is it? One thing I wanted to mention I thought was awesome as we move forward here is, what is the definition they're giving here about truth? I thought it was really, really powerful and interesting. So we know that scripture, John chapter 1, 17. Well, you want to know what I think or what the Word of God says here, what that definition is of truth? Because we have, like I said, John 1, 17, and then John 1, 18 goes on to give the definition of truth. No man has ever seen God at any time. The only unique Son, or the only begotten God, who is in the bosom, in the intimate presence of the Father, He has declared Him, He has revealed Him, and brought Him out where He can be seen. He has interpreted Him, and He has made Him known. So we talk about that scripture of truth is what we're saying, the unveiling of the Father. Making the Father known is what we're talking about here, is a definition of truth. Amen. I can tell you, he was talking about truth because everybody's definition can be different. And right there in 18, he says, hey, the truth is you're saved by grace, but it's knowing the truth that you come into fellowship with Him. And what I've done is not only saved your soul, but I've also made it to where I can reveal my Father to you. And that's what truth is. Revelation of who He is. Amen. And amen. When you think about that word truth, the word called truth is all about the revealing of Christ and the Father to you. And really it's about relationship, isn't it? God wants to walk in relationship with all mankind. You know, by the way, relationship isn't an effeminate thing or a girly thing. Sometimes I'll talk to guys with a relationship. You know, you think of sometimes relationship and guys don't say, hey, you know, we don't talk like this. So how many relationships do you have? Or how many best buddies do I have? But you know, so we got to be careful. Really, relationship is God revealing Himself to us, speaking to us. He's always delivering truth, and it's not what the world's truth is. Amen? We see that in what's going on right now. Sometimes, and how does God speak to us? Sometimes I'll be just doing yard work, and the Lord's speaking to me. Men, sometimes their relationship is we're working together. A lot of times my buddies is, well, okay, who am I working with? That's my buddy this week. Or if I've been working on the job with somebody for a long time. Men, it seems to sometimes revolve around work or some of their hobbies. Some of you have hobbies, I don't know. So just because, don't think of relationship as something that, like, on the phone for 4 hours with somebody. No, that's not. God is always revealing Himself to us. Relationships is very manly. Relationship with the Father is for men and women. Amen? And it's all about revealing His truth to us in this day and age. Amen? I'm going to have some scriptures I want to, as we continue here, and it's in Peter, 2 Peter. You know, I like the book of 2 Peter. It's pretty profound. I've been kind of studying that and focusing on and chewing on 2 Peter, because it's a book that Peter, at the end of chapter 1, says, the Spirit has made it evident, or God has told me that I'm not going to be with you much longer. It just flat out says that. Regardless of what your theology is on life or length of life or whatever, Peter says, the Lord has told me, if you read that first chapter, the end of chapter 1 of 2 Peter, he says, the Spirit has made it known to me that I'm not going to be with you much longer. Peter writes the second epistle warning about false teachers, the coming of the last days, and people mocking God, and speaks of the new heaven and earth. But before he talks about that, he reminds Christians to keep their focus on growing in their relationship with Him. Listen to me, Peter speaks about the truth. So even though that book talks about the end times, it talks about what's going to happen in false prophet, he starts it in that first chapter saying, but don't forget about growing in your relationship with Him. Even though all these things may be happening right now, as we see around the world, right? As we see cities on fire, as we see things going amok and awry, that was going on at the time of 2 Peter. As the Christian church was being, at that time, being pressed by Nero. And I find it interesting that at that time when Nero was the emperor of Rome, that Rome was up in flames. You know that if you know history, right? So even before Peter gets into all those things that are important, amen, he says, look, I got to get you back. We got to get back to the truth. That even though we have some major things that we're facing, as a community then, just like we are now, you can't drop the ball and not forget about your relationship with Him, your effectiveness in me. Amen? I think it's really easy in this day and age to start focusing on things that I'm telling you that aren't the absolute truth. I mean, the absolute truth meaning, yeah, I'm a patriot. I'm going to say this, I'm a patriot. I'm going to say this if it bothers people. When I saw people, what's the group they had? I was telling my wife they had guns downtown. Oath Keepers, it didn't bother me a bit. Sorry, I was born here. Yeah. Those things, so those things didn't bother me a bit. So, but we'll, I'm going to speak on that. So, but I also know that the truth is, hear me, as we move through, Jesus even loves people that are against us. Antifa, God wants to save their souls. BLM, God wants to save their souls. He wants to bring people out of darkness. We can't forget that. As we're standing up for truth, as we're trying to save this great nation and get us on track, we can't, the biggest, you know, the greatest thing that you can change a nation is getting people saved. You cannot put laws. We should know this as a grace church. I don't care how many laws you put in place, you're not going to change people's hearts. It's the Holy Spirit that changes people's hearts. Look at the Apostle Paul. What was he like? Was he contrary to Christianity? Was he probably, at that time, he was the biggest contrary to Christianity, dragging him off to jail. Whose coat was he holding when they stoned Stephen to death? Who was holding one of the coats as they said, here, let me hold your coats so you can pick up stones and really get wind up and throw them? It was Paul. Paul was totally against Christianity. But it was a revelation. You know what the thing is? What did God reveal to him? True truth. When he was knocked off his horse, who are you? I'm Jesus. A revealing of himself to the Apostle Paul, who became the greatest missionary of all time. Amen. Wrote 2/3 of our New Testament. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I continue to pray. Father, those in this nation who are contrary, nowadays we call them communists or socialists. And I understand they're against God. They're against our freedoms. But Lord, I'm also praying that you've saved their souls, that some of those who are totally against you become modern day Apostle Pauls. Amen. Totally. That people say, who is this? This person here was contrary to God, contrary to this country, and now they're standing up for Jesus? How about you? That's what I'm believing for this day and age, because I know that just me just doing what I'm doing now is not going to change anything. It's got to be a thing through God, changing hearts. Remember, he loves people. He wants to save souls. Do you agree with me this morning? Amen. So when Peter's talking about this, he's saying, look, I'm going to talk about some things, but I'm going to get the first thing before we get to some of this stuff is you can't forget about your walk with me and maturity. You know, I think as we understand grace and God's love for us, I think what's needed in the church today is we go on to maturity. Because that's where each one of us in the ministry God's given us. And think about the ministry that God's given us. People can think different things. Ministry is just not being behind here, right? We've seen the pregnancy center. There's different ministries, but we only can get there as we come into maturity in Christ. It's the only way. It's the only way, but I'm going to share a few more things with you just to encourage you that we can grow into maturity. I think the church is at a place where we need to focus on coming into maturity in Christ, growing in Him, right? Not staying where we're at, but continuing growing. For some people, it seems that's too hard. I've tried that. I've failed too much. Let's look at some scriptures of what Peter, when you delve into him a little bit, what they actually mean. So 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, it says, grace and peace, Peter speaking, that special sense of spiritual well-being. Boy, that sounds wonderful. Be multiplied. So he's saying, be multiplied to you. Here's that word again, in the true intimate. What does intimate mean? Relationship, right? So he's saying, intimate relationship, knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, multiplied. That well-being, that intimate relationship with Christ. He's our Savior. He's our God. He's our leader. He lives in us. He's talking about being multiplied. Verse 3 says, "For His divine power has bestowed on us absolutely everything, everything necessary for a dynamic spiritual life and godliness." Don't you love that? Everything. So we know that His divine power has bestowed, it is ours as believers for the taking, absolutely everything necessary for a dynamic spiritual life and godliness through true, there's that word again, true, relationship. And personal, so there's that, another word, personal. So we're speaking in the what truth is. God is revealing Himself to us. He's a being. He's a person. He loves us. He walks. You know that song? "He walks with me and He talks with me along life's narrow ways," right? Or how about in the book of Genesis, where before the mankind fell, what did God do? He said He came. He walked in the garden. He came in the cool of the evening to fellowship with Adam and Eve. With Adam and Eve. So everything necessary for a dynamic spiritual life and godliness through true and personal knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. Amen. Aren't you thankful that He's called you according to His glory and excellence, not yours? Not yours. Not your good efforts. He's called you into a relationship with Him, to grow in Him. But let's talk about some of these things that He's talking about as we can grow in Him. Amen? Because God is calling His body now unto maturity. Unto maturity. Verse 4, "For by these He has bestowed," here's this thing, "for by these He has bestowed on us His precious and magnificent promises." His promises of inexpressible value, "so that by them you may escape from the immoral freedom that is in the world because of disreputable desire and become sharers of the divine nature." Disreputable mean those things that, man, they're not good. Even people don't like them. People can see it from afar. Disreputable. It's something that repulses people, doesn't draw people. But you can see right there, it says the immoral freedom. You know, that's the thing that we're dealing with right now, people, immoral freedom, saying that, you know, restraints, any restraints on me are what's bringing me down. Any restraints by police, you know, it's called immoral freedom. If I didn't have these restraints, then I would truly be free. That's a lie. That's not the truth, is it? That's an absolute lie. So we can see that even what we're dealing with, this, if I didn't have these restraints, police, the government, if I could do what I want, then I would truly be free. But that's not exact. It's not true at all, because what it's doing is it's bringing that right now. It's bringing to our many of us seeing that it doesn't lead anywhere. It's disreputable, meaning, man, we look at it and say, no, this is leading to even worse. Worse ungodliness. 5, Peter's list. You know, we have the fruits of the Spirit that we see, what, in Galatians chapter 5. This is Peter, so to speak, fruits of the Spirit list, so to speak. He doesn't call them fruits of the Spirit, but this is kind of his list of the fruit of the Spirit. It says, "For this very reason," I want to say that he says, as we go through this, he's already said that spiritual well-being has been multiplied to you. He has bestowed upon you everything necessary. Amen? Everything necessary for a dynamic spiritual living. It says in verse 4, He's bestowed upon you magnificent promises. So remember that as we go through this. These things that He's given us, abilities to walk with Him, to grow in Him. It says, "For this very reason, applying your diligence to the divine promises." Amen? In verse 5, "Make every effort in exercising your faith to develop moral excellence." By the way, moral excellence doesn't save you. It's good to be moral. When I work in business and somebody says, "Hey, work with me, I'm a Christian," that doesn't mean anything to me. At that point, I'm looking for moral excellence. I'm looking for truth, right? I'm looking for somebody who's got a good work ethic or is honest, integrous. I don't go by the fact if someone just says, "I'm a Christian." That doesn't do anything for me. But moral excellence in society is what gives us a confidence. It's that net. Moral excellence is that net that we can trust one another, that we can trust our government, we can trust our neighborhoods. Moral excellence, what people say. So he's saying, hey, develop that moral excellence. And in moral excellence, knowledge, insight and understanding. You know what I love about, you know, it says the fool has said in his heart there is no God. But us who know him, right, we have insight and understanding. Did you know that God has made us geniuses? I don't care how smart somebody is. If they don't believe in God, they're a fool. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're a genius. I'm telling you. Narrow is the gate that leads to life and few find it. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, right? Many go that way. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'm telling you, he's given you wisdom and knowledge. You're a genius. Amen? Whatever your situation is, you could ask him, Lord, I need insight and wisdom. As the older I get, Lord, lead and direct me this problem, this situation, this conversation, this business transaction, whatever I'm doing, I'm saying, Lord, thank you for giving me wisdom and knowledge to be excellent, to be morally excellent, to accomplish things because your Spirit lives in me. Amen? It's the fruit of the Spirit. And it's part of maturing in Christ. It's part of growing up in him because he's given these promises and his Spirit lives in us that we're capable to grow in him by trusting him, leaning on him, praying to him, saying, Lord, you've got my back. Lord, you're leading me. He loves when we do that. The world says that's not truth. You've got to be prideful. It's your decision. It's what you were born with intellectually. That's the lie. Amen. That's the lie. If it had been that way, even King David would have never been king. Who in the natural, who looked like the better king, Saul or David? Saul was a big, tall, handsome fella. Looks like in the natural, this is a great choice. Even the prophet of that day said, yeah, Samuel said, hey, this guy looks awesome. This looks good. This is a great choice, God. But the truth was, is the heart was David who didn't have the most intellect or whatever, but a heart that trusted God. Amen? It says, and in your knowledge, self-control. So as we're talking about, he's given everything we need to grow into maturity, brothers and sisters. Self-control. Does the world need to see self-control right now? What do we see around us? Remember that Peter's going to get into the other things. He's going to get into the false prophets. He's going to get into the end of times. But he says, you can't take your eye off the ball. You've got to realize walking and growing in maturity is the number one priority. At the end of chapter 1, if you read, he says, I'm going to be leaving soon. The Lord has shown me I'm going to be departing, but I'm going to make sure to make a way to remind you of these things. Constantly remind you into growing into his maturity. Amen. Amen. Self-control. And in your self-control, steadfastness. You know, sometimes people can't be steadfast or they'll make mistakes and they'll give up. Don't give up. Steadfastness is right around the corner because he lives in you. Trust him. Lean on him for that steadfastness. That's his desire as we walk in maturity. If you've failed, if you made mistakes, get yourself up, brush your feet off, so to speak, and saying, Lord, thank you, I'm going forward. You live in me. You've given me these promises. Father God, you're going to make me the man or woman of God that I desire to be, Father. It says that in Psalms that you'll give me the desires of my heart, Lord. I'm not giving up, Father God. I'm going to come into steadfastness. And in your steadfastness, godliness, man, God living in us, growing us, bringing us out of darkness, right? Bringing us into his light, bringing us out of addiction, amen? Bringing us into that steadfastness in Jesus' name, Father. Godliness is okay to say that. Eve, it's also okay to say that in today's world, godliness. Through him, it's part of coming into maturity into him. Lord, we thank you for maturity this morning. Father, we thank you for people wanting to accomplish what they were built, made to do. Everyone. One thing I've realized as I've gotten older is anybody can chase or pursue money or business or this or that. But there's also a part of me of something that was put in me at birth that when I come into maturity, that gifting can be used to share with other people. And that's what brings satisfaction. That's what brings that sense of well-being, because the gifting that you have is what God is using for the eternal. Children, babies. Gifted, it's all about seeing the unseen. Amen? It's about those things that are eternal factors. Eternal value is what God's giftings does in our life. And we can't get into that, but it comes in so many different forms. And nothing is more important than another. God needs the body. We were talking in prayer this morning. You don't think about the big toe until it's sore and try to walk on it. You try to walk with a sore toe, then you realize, I need that toe. We're needed. Every person in the body's needed. And I can tell you from my experience, as you grow in maturity and don't give up and realize He loves you in confidence, there's no telling what direction God will take you. Right now, it may look like a mess for you. Trust Him. Trust Him. Become steadfast. There's no telling where God will take you. I think of different, it doesn't matter the age either. Some people, I've heard people say 30 years old, they're like, it's too late. I've done too much. My life is over. And they're serious. They're absolutely serious. It's amazing how the enemy lies to people. Because you know what? That's not the truth. Miss Wigglesworth, I think his first message is when he was 55. He was a bumbling, he was a plumber, but he loved people. He stuttered, but he would get people out in the streets and bring them in and say, pray for him, or pray for her. He started working full-time when he was 8 years old, because at that time in the 1850s or 1870s, when he was born, it's just like there was no social programs. He was working full-time. Didn't learn to read or write until he was an adult and his wife taught him how to read. Isn't that amazing? But didn't give up. He would never have dreamt that God was going to do what he did in his life just by steadfastness, by not giving up. Amen? By maturing. God needs people that are willing to mature in his body in this day and age. He really does. And it's not, the thing is, I used to think it's up to me. But it always just never worked out. But it says here he's given this exceedingly promise as he lives in us. It says that he's multiplied to you true intimate knowledge of God. I'm just yielding to him, Lord. Lord, you grow me up. Lord, I'm yielding to you. Father, you strengthen me. I'm just going to work on being steadfast, continue to worship and praise you regardless of what it looks like. And it's amazing what will happen. Let's continue. And in your godliness, brotherly affection. So we end your God, it says steadfastness, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly affection. Amen. With one another in the body of Christ. Something about, what did Jesus say? They'll know you're my disciples by your love for one another. Boy, today, we need that more than ever. Amen. Today, focusing, Lord, as we're standing up as patriots, as we're fighting for this country, do not forget that. Don't take your eye off the ball, where the key is maturing in Christ. Maturing in Christ. Trusting Him as we continue to stand up for truth in this great nation. Amen. Brotherly affection, and your brotherly affection, develop Christian love. Amen. Developing. That's kind of like, you see those are some of the similar things that you see in Galatians when Paul's talking about the fruits of the Spirit. Amen. Talking about the fruits of the Spirit. These things belong to us. And then verse 8, I want to read this. It says, for as these qualities are yours, then increasing. Did you see that? For as these qualities are yours. I'm not trying to obtain them. They're mine. He lives in me. Right? They may need to be developed. I'm growing up, maybe taking baby steps. Growing up could be learning to be a good husband. That can take a lifetime. Anybody say amen? It sounds funny, but it's the truth. I can't do it without, that's Christian maturity. I've found out through the years, this isn't time for a testimony, but when I was younger, been married 33 years now, was that I'd go to all these different people, you know, counseling and everything, trying to help, to try to help me to be a better husband. And I just, as I realized, as I yielded to God and started to mature, that just changed. He started showing me those things. He started showing me how to be a good husband. He started showing by His Spirit how my wife felt about that. He showed me how to be a better friend. He showed me how not to be difficult. Anybody here ever get difficult? Well, but difficult is not part of maturity. But it's something, as I'm following Him, He's showing me. God needs mature saints. As God has been hammering and showing us His grace and His mercy and His love, you know, grace gets us in the door. We're saved. It's the truth. It's the relationship that brings us into life, right? Jesus says, I am the way. That's His grace, amen? I am the truth. I'm a reveal of the Father to you. I'm revealing me, revealing myself to you. And I am the life. You can't have the life until you understand what true truth is. Amen. Amen. For as these qualities are yours and are increasing in you as you grow towards spiritual maturity, see, it's not just me saying that, it's in the Word. They will keep you from being useless. Hear this. Ow. I didn't write this. I don't like hearing this. But I did not write this. Take it with the right heart. It's not to browbeat you, but it's the truth. They will keep you from being useless and unproductive in regard to the true knowledge and greater understanding of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 1:8. Amen. One more thing as we're gonna close. I want to read one more scripture. Amen. And it's in verse 9 here. It says, For whoever lacks these qualities is blind, spiritually short-sighted, seeing only what is near to him. That means the immediate. What right now? I'm only focused on the right now. See what is near him and has become oblivious to the fact that he was cleansed from his old sins. That's okay. You know, sometimes through our life, I want to say we can become blind. I've done it before. When I don't walk in relationship with him, I'm not leaning and trusting in him, I can become blind. Lately, I have to say I've become blind that he loves everybody. I stand for truth, and some of these things, I was getting so upset. The Lord had to start showing me. He says, Chad, I want to bring you first. Continue to keep your eye on me. I want to mature you, grow you. There's no. It's through relationship, though. It's not through that, thou shalt not do this. That doesn't work. Because truth in John 1, verses 18 is, Lord, you're revealing the Father to us, how you love us. He paid the cost for us. If we can get the worship team to come up. And right now, if we could just bow our head for a second as the worship team. If you're here this morning, I just want to say, as the worship team, if you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, I just want to say right now that he loves you, that he is the way, the truth. If you've been, if there's been something in your life missing, it's truth. It's truth, and the truth is that he made you, he loves you, he died for you, and what you need to do is you say, yes, the Holy Spirit, speak into my life. I want to accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. At the end, when we go, we're going to say a prayer together. But if that's anybody here, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you up. Would you raise your hand? Anybody in this room saying, "Would you? I want to say that prayer, and I want to accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior." Anybody at all? I'll just give one more second. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. You may be here, and I want to encourage you. Sometimes I want to challenge you. Sometimes when we hear the word challenge, we think someone's got their dukes up ready to challenge. I'm going to tell you, that's not God's heart towards you. When God challenges us, he's saying, I want to walk in relationship with you. There might be some areas that right now the Lord's speaking and you were saying, you know what? I have been restless. I've been maybe a little bit of dissatisfaction. That's okay. Maybe the Lord's wanting to reveal some truth to you today. His truth, he loves you. It's about his relationship with you. He wants to call you to come walk into maturity with him, regardless of your age. As we walk in maturity, it's amazing, and those truths open up. It's amazing with how we see things so differently, how our attitude can change. Hypertension can go away in Jesus' name. Sometimes, you know, we can pray for somebody against hypertension. Maybe it's just a truth that needs to be revealed in your heart that'll make that all go away. Amen. So if it's okay to say, you know, maybe you can say this morning that I've become a little blind. Well, when I say blind, meaning that I've kind of taken my focus off my relationship with him and drawing close to him. Amen. If that's you, if you pray, would you just raise your hand? I'm not going to call you up, but if you just want to say, you know what, I've gotten my focus off, and I want to get refocused today. I don't know about you, but I'm raising both my hands. Lord, I want to get my focus. I want to go unto and into and continue. I want to get recalibrated. I want to come into maturity in you, Father God. Lord, you're showing me this morning that even as things are going on in this world, Father, as I continue to walk in truth, as I love my great nation, Father God, but I also know that, Father, I've got to walk and become like you for a world to see the difference. That was Paul. How did Paul change that world? Walking in relationship. Can we stand up together? You love him this morning? Lord, I love you this morning. Can we just lift our hands? Father, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We love you this morning. Father, thank you, Father, for opening my eyes. Thank you for revealing truth. Lord, maybe some of the truth I've been focused on wasn't the truth according to the kingdom of God, Father God. Father, but Lord, thank you for opening my eyes as I want to step in relationship with you to, Father God, to grow the abundance that you provided for me, it says, Father. The promises that you provided for me, Father God. Thank you. The promises of God are yes and amen. Amen, Lord. The promises of God. We thank you for your promises, Father. I thank you for your promises, Lord. I don't know about you, but I receive of his promises to grow in him, to be strengthened to him, to accomplish everything he has for me. I don't think of it. You never know what it's going to be. So people will say, I can't do that. I don't know where God's going to take me. He gives you the desires of your heart. And if it's your heart that needs to be changed, he changes it. He changes those desires. So Father, we thank you, Father, as you grow up saints in here, in this church, as you're growing up saints around Chino Valley, Arizona, United States, as the church matures in you, Father God, as you lead and guide us into boldness and strength, Father, as you reveal yourself to us, Father, we thank you for that revelation. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Lord, we love you this morning. We're going to sing this song, and then we're going to dismiss. I want to thank you for being here. Do you love him this morning? How about you, man? I'm ready to walk, come into maturity. How about you? I'm ready to come into maturity. Let the truth be made known. Worshiping the living God. Not a set of precepts. Thou shalt not. You shall not do this. You shall do this. But a person that really wants to walk. What's that song again? He walks with me and he talks with me. He walks with us. Did I say it right? We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, this week as we go Monday, tomorrow, Lord, we thank you that we're walking with you. Lord, we're mindful, we're meditating on your promises, your truths. You're going to lead. Lord, you haven't forsaken us. You've forgiven us. If you know him, and he's forgiven you of your sins. Thank you for that today. Thank you for being with us this week. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen.